Hello, church family. Welcome to Church News. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you are here with us today. Caleb, what do we got coming up?
Join us for Healing Night on September 21st at 6 p.m. This is going to be a powerful evening of prayer and restoration. So come expectant, believing that God will move in a powerful way. Whether you're standing in the gap for someone or you're believing God for a miracle yourself, we believe that this night is for you. So come expectant, come ready, and come believing.
Here at Only Believe, we believe that strong marriages are the backbone of a healthy family, and healthy families are the backbone of a healthy church. Marriages Us is a small group devoted to building strong marriages. The Marriages Us small group is for couples of all ages looking for ways to build and strengthen their marriage and connect with other couples in the church. Marriages Us meets on every second Sunday of the month in the loft at 9 a.m. For more information, you could head on out to the lobby at the Welcome Center and get it all there.
Have you decided to follow Jesus but don't know what your next step is? Well, your next step is water baptism. Water baptism is a way that you show that you have committed your life to following Jesus. It is an outward expression of an inward change. And this is why the Bible tells us that it's through baptism that we are participating in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus and have not been baptized, we highly encourage you to do so. For more information, or if you'd like to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center and they will help you out there.
Hey gentlemen, it's Pastor Tim. I just want to invite every guy in the church, regardless of your age, to our next Brotherhood Breakfast happening in October. It's a great time of just fellowship. We have good food and we have some really solid time in the Word and prayer together. It's going to be a great time and we'd love for you to join us. And then in October, we're actually doing a hike together afterwards at John Bryan State Park. So if you would like to join us for that, we'd love to have you for that as well. If you need any more information, don't hesitate to reach out to myself or Andrew Rogers. We'd love to talk with you about Brotherhood Breakfast. Hope to see you there.
If you're ready to take your next steps here at Only Believe, Growth Track is the perfect place to start. You can scan the QR code on the screen or head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby to get signed up. Growth Track helps you learn about the history and the vision of Only Believe Church, and it helps you learn about how God uniquely gifted you. And you can learn how to use those gifts to make a difference here at Only Believe. And it is the perfect opportunity for you to say yes to becoming a member of Only Believe Church. Growth Track happens every first Sunday of each month, right after church service, and there's lunch and childcare provided. So come ready to grow, connect, and take your next steps.
On Sunday, October 5th, we are having a salvation-themed service, and we are believing that many people are going to choose to follow Jesus for the very first time. During our 7 days of prayer, we ask you to fill out these salvation cards and write down the names of unsaved family and friends that you would like to see come to Christ. And we are asking you to take that next step and to invite these people to come to this service, because we believe that as we were praying as a body of believers, that God was working in their lives and preparing their hearts for this moment. So, invite cards are on the pews and you can make a personal invitation by inviting them to come to church. And you can even write your name and number on the back to help walk them through this process. We can't wait to see what God has in store for this powerful service.
And for any more information on anything and everything we have going on here at Only Believe, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and they will answer all of your questions. Now, let's lean in and prepare our hearts for what the Lord wants to speak to us today.
Morning, good morning, church. Again, my name is Pastor Nicole. I negated to tell you that during the offering and announcement. So if you're new to our church, my name is Pastor. But today, I get the honor of introducing a really special person in our lives. He is a longtime friend, longtime colleague. He's one of our campus pastors over in Urbana, as well as one of the most steadfast, faithful, balanced, consistent, and committed man I've ever met in my life, to not just his church, but his family, and to all of us that work here as a staff. Pastor Kylan, those of you that already know who I'm talking about, came to Only Believe 28 years ago as a youth pastor. And I remember Margot sitting here so lovely in the front row. This is his wife, Margot. Everybody say, hey, Margot. I know to some of you, you know her, but there's a lot of the new people in our congregation that don't. That's why I'm giving this dissertation about him, because he's very important in our lives. As a youth pastor for 28 years was he a youth pastor, but he's been with us for those 28 years. He was first a youth pastor, transitioned into being one of our campus pastors. But he's also been very important to Randy and I and our staff through this transition of pastor, going home to be with Jesus. And I'll tell you that when I thought we would lose our mind, Kylan would remind us of why we're not going to lose our mind. And God's in control, and he's got this, and he's got you, and he didn't bring us all this far to just leave us. So he's very respected in our lives. Give me a warm welcome and a round of applause as we welcome Kylan Boozer, respected by our family, our staff, and by our church. I'm so thankful that he's here with us today, that his schedule allowed him to come finally on a Sunday service. Yeah, well, thank you.
Well, I'll sit down. My goodness. Honestly, I didn't hear a word she said, so I'm assuming it was nice. But I'm glad to be with you today. Of course, Margo's here with me, and I always say this when we come here. It's like slipping on an old pair of shoes. It just feels good. You know what I'm saying? Kind of fits right. So we're always excited to come back and be with you all. And I love to see lots of familiar faces, but certainly always some new faces too, which is good. Amen? Amen. So before I get into anything, I need to remind you what happened in church news and announcement. Growth Track is happening today, room 306. And by the way, one of the best parts of Growth Track is they provide lunch. So if you are considering making this your church home, or you want to make this your church home, but you haven't made the official step of doing that, Growth Track is for you. Again, room 306, right after church. Pastor Nicole will meet you there, and they'll take you through the vision of our church of know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. So even if you're not sure what that's all about, but you want to check it out, please just show up. If you didn't sign up, please come. It is for you. Amen? Well, I'm here simply to encourage you today. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to be encouraged today. Let them know. We're going to set the tone for our time together today. And again, we love coming over and being with you. And our church this morning is certainly being taken care of. And I'm excited to hear what happens over there today. But having said that, if you'll turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31, we're just going to hit the ground running this morning because I got some different things I want to share with you. So Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. I want to talk to you in the beginning of this message about the kingdom of God. By the way, the kingdom of God is the subject that Jesus talked about the most. The majority of his parables were about the kingdom of God. Jesus himself came to inaugurate the kingdom of God and the things that the kingdom of God are all about. So here's a parable about the kingdom of God, Matthew 13, 31, and it starts like this. He told them another parable, and he said, the kingdom of heaven, now, by the way, stop right there. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are interchangeable terms. They mean the same thing. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, everybody says it grows. It is the largest of all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air can come and perch in its branches. And he told them still another parable. And the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked through all of the dough. Everybody say, work through all of it. So Jesus spoke all of these things to the crowd in the parables and didn't say anything to them without using a parable. And so it was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. And we'll stop there. See, this is what the kingdom of God is. Let me give you a very basic and simple definition, as much as I can give it that way. The kingdom of God is wherever God's reign and rule is reestablishing itself. Now, God is Lord of all things, we know that, but yet, because of sin, the world and mankind has been separated from him. Because of sin, we have lost our relationship with God. And even in that, then there are principalities and powers, both seen and unseen, at work in our world. But here's what the kingdom of God is. As simple as this. The kingdom of God is God coming and reclaiming his lost creation. That's what the kingdom of God is. And wherever the kingdom of God is coming, God is reestablishing what he's all about, and that is newness. God is always in the process of making all things new. That's what he's up to. If you want to know what God is doing, he's making all things new. Amen? So, by the way, God, because of that, everybody look at me, God is always putting newness and always putting a future in front of you if you want to walk into it. That's what he's doing. That's what he's up to. He's always putting life in front of you. That is the work of the kingdom of God. So God is coming, and he actually, in the work of Jesus and the crucifixion, he's taking responsibility for our mess that he didn't create. He takes responsibility for it in order to save it because simply God so loved the world. Now, these two parables right here, they talk about how the kingdom of God works, how it comes, what it does. The mustard seed, the plant that's planted to grow. The kingdom of God, it grows. Yeast being worked through the dough. Kneading through the dough. Why? So the yeast can be spread out so that the dough rises. The kingdom of God, it works itself through. It grows and it works itself through. Now, there's a parable right before the two parables we just read about the wheat and the tares. Ask, why don't we just come and take all the wheat now? Well, because if you do, you might pull up some of the tares too. Well, why does the kingdom of God come all at once? Why does it grow? Why does it work itself through? Well, because of grace and mercy. Because if the kingdom of God came all at once, it would come simply in judgment. So the kingdom of God comes and it grows and it works itself through. This is how God simply does it. It's what he's doing. It's what he's up to. It's his plan. It's been his plan all along. And guess what? You are a part of it. There's the big picture work of the kingdom of God that will end up in Revelation 27. When there's a new heaven and a new earth and the old order of things will have passed away. That's where we're headed. But you know, beyond big picture, it comes right down to each one of us. Because where is the kingdom of God? Jesus said it's within you. It's within you. See, I'm saved. But you know, as Paul would say, I'm still being saved. Why? Because something's growing. Something's working through in my life. And then Paul will also say that we will be saved when Jesus comes back and the finality of all things being made new actually happens. But where I want you to find some encouragement today in that is this. Philippians chapter 1. If you have Bible with you this morning, turn there. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Philippians 1 and verse 3. We'll read this together. It says, I thank my God. This is Paul writing to a church in Philippi. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now watch this. Here's some encouragement for you. Paul is confident. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, his return. So I got Miss Karen back there. If you'll throw that first graphic there for me this morning. Kind of a point right here for you. See, God will and promise. God will always, because he's faithful and he's God, God will complete what has been started in you. Yes. Be encouraged. Yes. He's going to finish it. God never starts something that he doesn't follow through. God never starts something that he doesn't have the intention of finishing. The kingdom of God that grows like a plant, the kingdom of God that works itself through like yeast through the dough, will complete the work in you. Because where is the kingdom of God? It's within you. It starts with salvation, but then forward, we live as people who work out our salvation. That's what God is going to complete. Now, in other words, the same God who transformed you in new creation and your salvation is the same God who will continue to transform you progressively. That's the plant growing. That's the yeast working through the dough. John 10:10. Let's jump over to another scripture. Now here's something I think we need to grasp this morning. And maybe for some of us, we need to reorient the way we think about this. John 10:10. I think it's a passage of scripture that many of you, if you've grown up in church, you've heard this before, but I want to make sure we're grasping what's really happening here. Jesus talking, and he says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but Jesus, in John 1:1, says that he is life. Jesus has come to give us life, but watch the way this is worded here. But I have, Jesus has come that they, you, may have life and have it to the full. In other words, abundant life. Now, how many of you would say, I really desire to have abundant life? Let me see. Anybody? I hope so, because that's God's intention. That we live in the abundance of life, but yet I think sometimes our understanding of abundant life gets kind of skewed a little bit. So I have another graphic. Karen, if you'll throw this one up for me, please. Abundant life, listen, in its base level, what abundant life is really about, abundant life is growth into freedom from sin. That is abundant life. It's growth into the full freedom from sin. Now, let's talk about this for just a moment. When you gave your life to Jesus, and by the way, you know, how many ever heard the term, you accept Jesus into your heart? Anybody ever hear that? Nothing wrong with that. I don't like it. I'll tell you why. Nothing wrong with that terminology, but I'll tell you why. Because it almost sounds like I'm doing this on my terms. I'm accepting you to come into this little place in my life where I can just kind of keep you there. No. Salvation is giving the entirety of who you are to him. And in your salvation, the crux of the whole deal is you have been forgiven of your sins. Amen. Why? Relationship. Jesus has come to be the way back to the Father. Watch this. Jesus did not come to change God's mind about you. Jesus has come in the fullness of God's love to bring us back to the Father. So salvation, you being saved, is not you going to heaven. Salvation is my relationship with God, and a byproduct of that is I go to heaven. Yeah. Yeah. Salvation is not, well, I get to be with God for eternity in a new heaven, new earth, and whatever that's going to look like. Yes. But that's a byproduct of restored relationship with God. Yeah. That's why everything we do, we pray, we worship, we fast, we read our Bible, we come to church. It's all about relationship. You make it anything else, then it's not what it's supposed to be. Relationship. But in the forgiveness of my sins, you know, you've also been set free from your sins. You're not just forgiven, but you are set free. That's why new creation has come. The old is gone and the what has come? The new. But yet I know you and I know me, we've got to work this thing out. We've got to live out our forgiveness and freedom. Abundant life is living the freedom of our forgiveness from sin. Amen. Some of y'all have been forgiven, but you haven't walked into freedom yet. That's what abundant life is. Let me give you maybe some examples to think about here. Yes, you've been forgiven, but abundant life is freedom from anger because of the growth of self-control and gentleness. Amen. You see that? It's not just freedom, but it's growth into abundance. Abundant life is freedom from lust because of growth into self-control and purity. Abundant life is freedom from holding on to unforgiveness towards somebody because of the growth into the grasp of the understanding of forgiveness of God towards us, and in turn forgiving others the same way. Abundant life is freedom from greed as you grow into contentment. Abundant life is freedom from a judgmental attitude because you grow into mercy. Abundant life is freedom from a grumpy attitude because you grow in joy. Amen. Abundant life is the plant growing in you and the yeast being worked through your dough. See, you're not just saved from some things. You are. But you know, your salvation is you're saved into things too. Yeah. And what you're saved into is abundant life as we grow into the freedom from our sins. So an example that I use a lot, it's just because it's me, is when I first got saved, I was 17. I grew up in church, but I fully gave my life to the Lord at 17. I just graduated from high school. 2 weeks later, I felt a call into ministry. I was forgiven, and I was set free. But yet there were things in me worked out in my life, and I totally changed my life and went to a Bible school 1,000 miles away from my house. My mom was not happy. I never saw the place. I applied. I drove there and showed up and walked onto a campus I never saw before, all the way in Springfield, Missouri. But, you know, I was a pretty raw Christian. I've been forgiven. I've been set free. But yet, there were things in my life that I did not have full freedom from in my actions. So as a late teenager, early young college age guy, I was a very angry person for some different things that I experienced growing up that should not have, but turned into, I was just angry. And it didn't take much to flip my switch. I had an old, college kids, we buy old furniture to put in our dorm rooms. I had an old Lazy Boy chair that I picked up from somebody for a little amount of money. One day, something made me mad. I picked that thing up and threw it up against the wall. Broke it. Of course, being a poor college kid, I didn't have money to get another one. For the rest of my years, I'd lean back and that thing would lean to the side as a reminder of my out-of-control anger. You see, I was forgiven. New creation was there, but yet there were things in my life that the plant needed to keep growing. The yeast needed to keep working through the dough. Now, I could honestly say, it's been a long time since I've been saved, but I don't have out-of-control anger anymore. As a matter of fact, I would tell you, it takes a lot to push my buttons. And it's only because of the activity and the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, because the kingdom of God has been growing in me. I mean, I know what I'm talking about. That's what God is up to. I was saved from the wrath of the penalty of my sin, but I'm saved into the newness of life that shows up in self-control and gentleness and kindness and patience and all those kind of things. That is abundant life. It's not about the stuff that you have. Amen. It's about the inward work of God in your life. But here's something about the kingdom of God. So Karen, another slide for me, please. You cannot rush through the kingdom of God. If you try to rush through it, you'll miss it. You can't rush through the kingdom of God any more than you can force the plant to grow faster. And this is in the wisdom of God, that he takes us through these life, a life of the progress of the work of the Holy Spirit in the way that he desires to work it in your life. See, I was well aware that I had an anger problem. My suite mate, so I had a room, and there was a bathroom, and I had two guys who were my friends that we shared a bathroom. They were aware. They nicknamed me Nitro. That fast. Boom. It could blow up pretty quick. I was aware. People around me were aware, and I wish that I could have just went, and it was gone. Didn't happen that way. You can't rush the kingdom of God. Often it works as a plant grows. Often it works as the yeast being worked through the dough. See, that is why in the scriptures, patience and perseverance are as much about the working the kingdom of God in you as it is you dealing with other people. Matter of fact, it's more about you. We think of growing in patience because I gotta be patient with people that get on my nerves. No, patience is the understanding of the work of God in you and you staying to the task because you know God is up to good things. Yeah. That's patience. Yeah. See, here's what I know. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, Assemblies of God. From the time I was 12, we started going to a charismatic church, which was by the way, I just had a thought. So we grew up in an AG church. We had church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and revival services all the time. And we would get home from church on Sunday, and immediately I'd start begging not have to go back to church that night. It's a wonder my parents did not kill me. I don't want to go to church, please, you know. We changed churches. I don't mean to sound sacrilegious, but it was one of the greatest moments of my life when I was 12. When I found out that church did not have Sunday night church. It was just the most amazing thing. I still remember that to this day. It was just a wonderful moment of my life. Anyways, I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, here it is. I got it back. It went. See, a lot of times in the charismatic Pentecostal churches, we're after the boom and the bang and the fireworks. Yes and amen, because it's there. Signs and wonders and miracles. Amen. Amen. And there are moments where God may show up and set you free in such a way that you never had freedom before in something in your life. But a life of faith isn't just about seeking the boom and the bang and the fireworks. A life of faith is a life of faithfulness to allow the plant to keep growing within you. And you have to be good with both, especially the latter. Because most of the freedom that comes in your life happens because you grow into it. And you can't rush it. That's where patience and perseverance show up. How many know I'm getting at? That is the work of, it's how he does it. And by the way, this is sort of a kickoff to a series called In the Garden. You are in the garden. Whose garden? God's garden. And God is creator. He is the master gardener. Listen, he knows what he's doing. He's the best at it. And it's no coincidence that when he creates man, he puts him in a garden. It's no coincidence that the resurrection of Jesus is in the garden tomb, and Mary Magdalene sees Jesus and mistakes him for what? A gardener. God is always tending to your life if you allow him to. You see? That's what God is up to. And he's just the best at it. Now, having said all that, Paul writes in Philippians 3, you don't have to turn there, that he presses on simply because he has not attained it yet. He keeps going. He doesn't give up. As he writes in Corinthians, this glory to glory transformation, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. See, part of our pressing on. Now, I can't change me with just me. My willpower is not strong enough. My wisdom certainly isn't wise enough. I don't have all the knowledge that I could have. I need God. Little side question. What are you doing each day that shows you need him? So you can claim the status of a Christian, but live your life every day sort of ignoring that he's there. Amen. See, if I really need him as much as I say I do, what am I doing each day that shows that I need him? What am I doing every day that invites him very particularly into my life? What am I doing every day that I turn and I pay attention to him because he's there? You spend your entire day paying attention to all sorts of things. Are you paying attention to him? You see, part of this thing of the plant growing and the yeast being worked through your life, part of being in the garden of God and being tended to by him is the fact that you must do your part, which you got to pay attention to him. And you've got to give him the avenues to come into your life and do the work that only he can do. So the way I like to talk about this is I like to talk about rhythm. So yeah, the worship team, they do an amazing job, amen? Some of the songs that y'all sing, where's Jess at? Jess is the drummer. I don't know much about music, but I know if the drummer gets off rhythm, we all know it. Thank goodness Jess does a good job, and Caleb and whoever else plays. Do a great job. But you know it when music gets off rhythm, right? You need a rhythm of your life daily where you are paying attention to him, that if you ever have days where you get off that rhythm, you know it. I've heard it said like this, to be addicted to things divine. See, God has given us avenues and tools to connect to him and to be strengthened and to grow. And there's nothing legalistic about this. If you remember, this is about relationship. Amen. It's not about checking boxes off to make God happy. But he's given us the word. Why? To grow in knowledge. To begin to understand him. He's given us prayer. Why? So we can commune with him face to face, as Moses would say, as a friend speaks to a friend. He calls us into places of fasting at times. We worship. We gather in church. Rhythms of life that open you up for the Holy Spirit to come and do the work that he can only do. You got to have rhythm. And it's a rhythm in such a way that if you get knocked off your rhythm, you know you got knocked off your rhythm. So I have such a rhythm in my life. If I go a couple days without getting in my Bible, I just feel like, man, I got to get back in my word. How many know what I'm talking about? Or if I get a season in life, I do a vacation or two, and I miss church for a couple weeks, I got to get back to church, man. There's importance there. I would say it's rare that I don't pray. I mean, but if for sake of example, if it was a day or two that I didn't, just for a couple moments, pay attention and pray and commune with God, I gotta get back into my prayer time. A rhythm of life that you must have because of your purposeful intention of wanting the kingdom of God to continue to grow in you. So the work that he wants to complete, you'll be in process. See that. But I want to, I guess, maybe take a couple burdens off your shoulders. Maybe to find some encouragement here. But just know, before I say this, a little mark in my notes, I want to throw something out. The reason that we jump into the things that God has given us to relate and connect and be encouraged to him is because you don't ad-lib your spirituality. You don't make it up as you go along. As a matter of fact, see, in his directive is where abundant life is found. And any other way will be counterfeit and will be left lacking. So these rhythms of life, by the way, are lifelong. So how many of you have been saved for less than 5 years? Let me see. Anybody? Okay. How many of you have been saved for more than 20 years? Let me see. Listen, less than 5 years, more than 20, and everything in between, you're still in the garden. Yeah. This is lifelong. I've been pastoring for 31 years. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still finding things about me that need to change and to grow. Why? Because I want abundant life and freedom for all it's worth in me. That's what I want. But again, a couple burdens I want to maybe lift off your shoulders. Here's the first one. The growth of the kingdom of God in you will not just be the smooth upward trajectory. It'll look more like this. How many know what I'm talking about? Ups and downs, and all of a sudden, life throws you a curveball that knocks you off your rhythm, and you go through life because we live in an imperfect world, and you experience all of it. You are not immune to the troubles of this world because you're a Christian. I think sometimes, well, if we just live by faith, trouble will never come. No, you live by faith because trouble's going to come. That's the way you look at it. And you're not going to have this perfect trajectory of growth. And you're going to be the one that realizes it. You know how many times I've got myself in the mirror knowing there are things I got to work on and see myself and go, well, buddy, you made a mistake there. You didn't hold up your end of the bargain there. You taught this, but look what you did. But you know what? That's okay. Stay faithful. So if it hasn't been perfectly smooth, then it's not going to be for anyone. It's okay. Take that burden off your shoulders. Don't feel like a failure. Stay faithful. Amen. And here's the second thing. While this process is going on, you're growing into freedom. You don't have to pretend it's all perfect. Don't have to pretend. You don't have to show up to church and pretend it's all good for the sake of some sort of facade mask you want to put on for people. You will never grow in the abundance of the freedom from sin until you're honest and you're open. And if we have a church, we're walking these doors, you know I don't have to pretend. Well, that's what church is all about. Amen. See, church is not a gathering of perfected saints. Yes. Amen. It's the gathering of people who together we're learning to live the Jesus way together through the ups and the downs and the sideways and the upside downs and everything that life throws, but yet we stay faithful together. Amen. So it's not going to be perfectly smooth, and you don't have to pretend it is. Matter of fact, freedom and small groups and the things we talk about when it comes to small groups and coming into relationship, learning how to confess your sins to one another. Why would you do that? Because I need help. Taking off the mask will help you stay in growth. Amen. It's okay. Because, well, everybody here is still in it. Remember, all of you that have been saved more than 20 years, you're still in the garden. Let's not pretend we're perfect. Yeah. Throw those burdens off. And know that we're all, listen, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. Growing together. Helping one another. Being tended to by God in his garden. So I want, in my life, abundant life. I don't want any resemblance of my former self to be hanging around. I want the same for you. But we gotta stay growing. That work of the Holy Spirit, because watch what God does. He takes absolute, utter chaos and mess, and he takes it and he makes something wonderful and beautiful and good. That's what he does. And I don't know about you, but I'm well aware of this part of not only who I was, but what I'm working through. But I also know because he's going to complete the work that he has started in me, I'm going this way. You see? That's what God is up to. That's the kingdom of God. You've got to sometimes get over yourself. By the way, some of you hold yourself captive to your past. It's going to be hard to feel like you've been set free from your sin when you don't really receive the full forgiveness of God in your own mind and your life. Yeah. You'll stay right there. Listen to me. You are absolutely, positively forgiven. And he took your sin and he cast them as far as the east. East is to the west. In other words, it just keeps going in circles, gone. Do you believe that? And if you believe that, then you also have to believe I've been set free too. Let's just walk this out, right? So, having said that, if you're here today and you feel that you... maybe your heart feels far from God. Maybe you've never fully surrendered your life to Jesus in forgiveness. Maybe you've been holding some things back. Maybe you did the whole business. Well, I kind of accepted Jesus in my life, but I'm keeping him squared away in this little box over here, and he hasn't gotten everywhere. And there's things in your life that you need forgiveness of. So you can start walking in freedom. I'm going to ask you in just a second to raise your hand. So if everybody would stand up. So I'm not going to ask anybody to close their eyes. It's okay. But if that is you, you need forgiveness in something. Let me see. Anybody? Raise your hand up. Is there anybody here? I'm looking around. Okay, I see that. You put your hand down. Anybody else? God, listen to me. He loves you. He sees your sin. He doesn't condone it. But yet he's come to set you free. Anybody else? I think I saw two hands. And two is good for me. Amen? Three, okay, cool. So how about this? If that was you that raised your hand, as soon as we're done today, promise me, you're going to come right down here so we can get with you. Okay? But let's all pray with those people. I'm not going to lead you in a